So for an introduction, this is an old word. When Jenny and I sat down with two other couples quite a few years ago to decide whether to start meeting in our living room and start making up a Christian fellowship, we decided to go forward. They were both deacons with me at the Baptist Church. They're not here. That's what this word's about. It's about when we look to the right and the left and we don't see somebody that we used to see because something happened, they got deceived, they got confused, and they're not here anymore. So this is like a warning to all of us, including myself, that I wrote down years ago. The title is, Are You Wavering? What God really desires in our lives is to use our past to change our future. It's what we do with what happens in our daily life that really affects us. And it can change us for good, or it can change us for bad. It's up to us to use our experience for the good. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully working them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then, chapter 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself the money that you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but you've lied to God. And when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Every one of us in this room is susceptible to compromise. Every one of us. Every day we make decisions. Sometimes we give a lot of thought to the decision. Sometimes we just, that sounds good. Let's do it. But we all need to be praying about the decisions that we make and the interactions that we have with each other. We need to remember to look at our lives and our decisions a lot harder than we would look at other people's decisions. We can't base our success and our future on those around us. And we never should be comparing our lives with others, because God's called us each differently. We like different cars. We like different houses. We like different movies. We all have different interests, different favorite foods. He's created us, each of us, differently. And it's up to each of us to watch and judge ourselves correctly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it talks about the communion. So then whoever eats or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have died. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such a judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. We have people that are sick. We have people that have gone home. But why? Why is this so important? Because it's breaking God's heart. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. And when we take that for granted, that just breaks the Father's heart. And it separates us. And we're trying to hear his will. God, what do you want me to do? Where are you? You're not answering me. You're not telling me. Why? Have you ever sat? I went to the hospital to pray for somebody one time, and I was sure they were supposed to get healed. I've seen so many miracles. And they went on home to the Lord. And I sat. And I argued with Daddy. Why? How did I miss you? The only reason that that's in the Bible is because of how serious it is. How we live the rest of our lives and the quality of our lives depends on our respect for the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. Don't ever take his sacrifice for granted. Uzziah is a good example of how God dealt with sin in 2 Chronicles. It's Chronicles chapter 26. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father, Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. Uzziah was only 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. All through the Bible, it uses that term, fear of God. I think a lot of times we take for granted whether that means me. And then down to 16. But after Uzziah became powerful, His pride led to his downfall. He became unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. 80 other courageous. Why? Because they all feared for their life, because he was the king. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God." Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand, ready to start to burn the incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priest in their presence before the incense altar, in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Uzziah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, and they hurried him out. And indeed, he was eager to leave because the Lord had inflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. Remember that first scripture, some of you are sick and some are this and some are that. There's several examples here. This was a man that God truly loved. God's the one who put him in position and gave him all the responsibility and gave him great success. But he was humbled, and he lived long enough to remember how he had sinned before God and before his life became dramatically different. Do you realize how you are changing your future every time you choose to sin? You're changing your future. Your path is going to get redirected. Blessings are going to get withheld. Prosperity is going to get withheld. Whatever God has to do to make you realize that you've turned against him. Numbers chapter 20. Two men that started the church with me still aren't walking with God. They're still isolated. In Numbers 20:6-12, Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of the meeting and fell face down, and the glory appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock. And Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" And then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with the staff. And the water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. He told them what they had to do, but they ignored God and did it their way. And as a result, they lost all that God was going to give them and bless them with, because they didn't listen to him. God chose Moses, who had a stutter. He was an inadequate speaker who lacked confidence to bring his people out of slavery. But when Moses acted against God's instruction, he couldn't enter into the promised land. What promises have we missed by doing things our way and not seeking God? This really is an important word, because this can change your life. I know life becomes kind of we want to feel good. But God's called us for his purpose. He hasn't called us for our purpose. He's called us for his purpose. It's so important that we need to judge ourselves daily and stay in God's ways and in his will for our personal life. Each of us are going to experience trials of different sorts. But not all the trials are from God. I'll give you couple examples here. We have trials because of choosing something that is not what God had for us. And we have trials because of choosing something that is sin to us. And God does not walk with us in, because he can't walk in sin. He can't participate with us. So we've chosen to do something that's going to literally separate us from walking with Jesus. And when we're still in that position, our prayers are being cut off until we repent and turn around. And the hard part is sometimes we don't even know we're there. And that's the most important thing of why we're here as a church body. I mean, all of us need to always be prepared to have somebody come up that loves us and ask us why we made a certain decision. Otherwise, they don't love us. I mean, do you want to really know that people love you? Or you just want to be accepted by people and get along? Do you want everything that God's got for you? Absolutely everything. Or do you want somebody that sees that you've gotten off the path and you're going the wrong way, and they don't tell you, and then you continue to go down and down and down? You know, the enemy, Satan, knows God. The only thing that will save us is repenting and living in faith. and following him. You know, he gave up everything on the cross. Why do we still hold on to stuff when we've asked him to forgive us? Why do we still hold on to stuff? I'm one of those people, if I see somebody's got a problem, or I find out they don't have food or something else, I'm one of those people that immediately recognizes that God put them in my path for a purpose. That's why he made them aware to me. And I would go help. I would reveal the knowledge that I have to help him. And I would reveal the tools that he needs to accomplish his task. And I would teach him how to use the tools. The trials in our lives that come from God are teaching tools. Very lovingly created to help us get to the next level. But Satan, who knows God really well and doesn't fear him, gives us what's called counterfeit trials that are miserable. And they don't build us up. The key here is that if Satan can influence your thinking, your mind, then he can also control you. That's a scary thought. If he can influence you, then he can control you. We need to learn the difference and not let Satan influence us and pull us down. God is the only one that can pull us up and build us up. And when he separates us, that's when we get into the down. Because he pulls us down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning since the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is truly born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. And this verse 10 is very interesting. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who chooses not to do what is right is not God's child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and their sister. These verses are similar to the others that I've shared. Everyone in this room has the ability to reverse your path and separate yourself from God. Nobody can do it to us. Nobody can make us sin. Each of us has that ability. And Satan knows it. He knows all the tricks. He knows how to get us angry. He knows how to make us mad at somebody enough that we won't forgive them. And we'll hold on to that unforgiveness. If you find that it's easy to get angry, to get disappointed, to hold a grudge, start recognizing it and start forgiving immediately. As soon as somebody offends you, forgive them. Why? Do you think it benefits them? No. It benefits you. Jenny and I put her car in a shop last week. Her car developed a whistle. I mean, a real whistle. And we had taken Savannah and Josiah up to this Stephen Foster. When the whistle started, we're way up there on the Suwannee. And we went to Live Oak. They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't fix it. So they sent us to somebody else. They tried to fix it. Then they tried something else. And then they tried something else. And so I picked the car up and I told them, I said, this is silly. The car needs to go to the dealership. It's a Buick. They know what it is. They'll be able to fix it. And immediately, the manager wrote us a full refund for the charges, $450 we'd already paid while they were trying to fix it. Just immediately handed us the money back. And we had already decided, you know, we weren't going to be angry. They did the best they could do, and we were just out of the money. And the money wasn't important. The thing was is that we not get angry, and we just get our car repaired. He actually stole my thunder by writing the check back. And we took it to Buick, and they fixed it. They had it for 2 days, and the car's fixed. But it's so easy to pick up an offense or to get angry at people or get disappointed in people. And we're only hurting ourselves. If we find it easy to sin, then we must repent and ask God for forgiveness. And if we got to repent 50 times a day, we better keep repenting. That's what Paul, when he was warning about taking communion, we need to make sure that we are right with God. Yeah, a long time ago, Elmer taught that we need to stretch our thinking past what we think is right and find out in God's Word what is right in His eyes. That's a quote from 15, 16 years ago when Elmer was teaching one time. We need to stretch our thinking past what we think is right and find out in God's Word what is right in His eyes. Our knowledge of the Word of God increases our freedom from Satan's influence. It is the only truth that will set you free, and to know His Word is to do it, to act on it. if you have trouble doing it, ask yourself if you really know Jesus, if you really have that personal relationship where he's in your life, and you're just not practicing the faith, practicing the religion. Is he really in your life? Because Jesus will pull you out of the situation and make you realize the mistakes you're making. I hope you realize it's only God that can grant you the repentance. It has nothing with you trying to be good or how smart you are. And actually thinking that you are smart might get you into trouble. We have to be so careful with the decisions we make. God doesn't need us to accomplish his will, but he wants to share his glory with us. Does your life, your words, your relationships bring glory to God? Is there anybody that can eat your lunch? Anybody that can get your goat? Anybody that can upset you? Turn it over to God. And forgive again. Yeah, 7 times 70. Acts 4, chapter 4, verse 12. No, chapter 4, the verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you've been with Jesus. If he is Lord in your life, you're in fellowship with him. And people should see the courage like they saw in Peter and John. In the ordinary, unschooled, regular guys. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. See, they just healed somebody. But how did they heal them? Because they have the same power and authority that you and I have. Everyone in this room has that same power and authority. It's been given to us. When Jesus lives in us, his spirit comes in and takes over. And our flesh holds us back from everything he could give us and every way that he could work through us. Jesus always used just common men, not college educated, medically educated. Common men. Why? Because common men didn't have their degree to fall back on. And sometimes when you've got the degree and you got all the knowledge, you have a tendency to believe that you got it all. But no, he uses the common man to accomplish his goal of bringing glory to God. I once read a book written by an evangelist. The evangelist learned that no matter how much manipulation he used, he could not get somebody saved. He just couldn't do it. no matter how hard he tried to manipulate the situation, they wouldn't get saved. But then he realized that if he humbled himself, it did not act like he had lots of knowledge, and he just shared the gospel of salvation and told God, told men how much God loved them, all of a sudden they started repenting and getting saved. That's the difference between hearing God and doing what he says to do and using our intellect and doing what we want to do. A lot of times people will tell me that we really need to talk to that person. You need to share with that person. It's like, I don't have a word for that. God hadn't told me I was supposed to talk to them. But I've had so many people get saved that I've talked to when God did tell me to talk to them. There's this thing about us having an independent spirit. And that's something that I cursed in my life a long time ago because I don't want to be independent. I want God to take me over 100% and use me. I'm just a regular old guy. But when he talks to me, I write down what he tells me. If I tried to write a word like this, you'll all be so bored. What I'm saying is that all the power is from God. We have none of in ourselves. And only if we stay in a faith, fellowship, relationship with him can we accomplish anything. I tell you, I can sit up in here and entertain you every Sunday, but that won't change your life. If I get up here and do what I'm supposed to do, your lives will be changed. The first miracle I saw was at Daytona Beach Community College. Actually, Maranatha House, when Warren Hauser was discipling me and teaching me how to work with God. The guy came to Bible study with his hearing aids. He got saved. God told me to pray for Mike. So we could receive his healing. As we continued on, he had to take the hearing aid out because it was too much noise. Because he could hear. Was it Marion Tompkins that was in the hospital dying that day? God told me to get out of bed. That was Karin. Karin lives over in Jacksonville. Or Rod and Judy's daughter. God told me to get out of bed. It was midnight. I'd just gotten a call from Rod, and Karin was confirmed that she was gone. God woke me up and said, get in your car. Go up to Latchwood General. I want to wake Karin up. So I threw on clothes, got out of bed, drove up there to Gainesville. Rod was walking around the parking lot crying. And I said, you need to come with me. And he said, why? He said, Karin's dead. And I said, no, she's not dead. We have to go up and wake her up. He thought I was crazy. We got in the elevator and walked up. We found his wife, Judy, and Glenn Davis, And I said, I'm here to wake Karen up. The charge nurse who was watching the monitor said, she's gone. And I said, we have to pray for her. So we circled around her. Two took feet, two took arms. I took the head. Prayed for her. Nurse screamed, I gotta get the doctor. She took off running down the hall. Came back with the doctor, and the doctor said, oh my gosh, she's back. Call the team. They grabbed the gurney and took off down the hall. Karen lives with her husband over in St. Augustine. Perfectly healthy. It wasn't her time. Do you want to train yourself to hear God's voice so God can use you? He can speak through you. You can teach. You can evangelize. You can heal people. You can come in and tell people about where they were yesterday in prophecy and scare them to death. We used to have a prophet here. Her name was Martha, and Martha danced and sang every week. She was in her late 70s, and somebody would walk through that door, and she said, when you were at Publix yesterday, God was telling you this, and she would tell them what it was, and you'd see them fall on the floor crying, because Martha knew something about them. Everyone in this room has a gift. You got the Holy Spirit living in you. This is the Word of God. I'm not making something up. Every one of us is powerful. That's why I wanted to bring this word today, because it's one of the most powerful words God ever gave me. You can teach, you can heal, you can prophesy. You can do so many things for God. But you must not separate yourself from God by sin. You got to let any sin you practice go. You must know that it's not by your power or your knowledge, but only your faith in God to work through you. Because God's the one that wants the glory. He wants the glory. And there's a little bit more, but I'm going to stop there. Believe your minds on the fact that you are powerful. And you can change the world. Father, we just thank you for your words. And they're not my words. They're the words you gave me. Backed up by your words, by your scriptures. We thank you for your word. Lord, use us. Lord, send in those that need ministry, need help, Lord. And show us how to become the men of God, women of God that we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
When you pray, I believe.